Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 159, the first two stanzas. O God, regard my humble plea. I cannot be so far from Thee, but Thou wilt hear my cry. When I by trouble am distressed, then lead me on the rock to rest, that higher is than I. 1 and 2 of Psalter 159.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, and thereof chapter 8. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, who art in heaven, and as we have heard in this morning hour, whose name is so very, very great, and thou wilt not have thy name to be taken in vain, and we are creatures who are not able to honor and to glorify thee as we ought, or wilt thou give us then a little measure of thy Holy Spirit? For we know not what to pray for as we ought, but that thy Spirit may it fill us in these moments as we try to approach unto thee, and that may a groan for us with those groanings which cannot be uttered, especially for the sake of thy church, for the apple of thine eye, for they do long by times to be delivered, even the whole creation, as we have read together, groaneth and travaileth in pain, together until now, not made subject to vanity willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. O Lord, thou knowest all the earth, and that it lieth under the consequences of our sin, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the trees of the wood, the stars of the sky, waiting for the redemption also of the body, that it may be transformed once again into that which thou hast created it to be, when it shall all be redeemed by thee, and when it shall be made once again to fit and to serve thy most eternal purpose. But thou knowest also the crown of thy creation, and how far and how deeply that he has fallen away from thee. To be carnally minded is death. Thou knowest what the carnal mind is. O Lord, wilt thou look upon us with our carnal minds, subject to vanity, and going over this world as if there is no God, as if there is no end to the life here below, as if that there is no judgment, as if that all things here below will satisfy our created soul. O Lord, that thou wouldst grant new ones to be born in Zion, and that thy word may have a place in this afternoon hour, even among us as a congregation, that thou wouldst build, O Lord, thy own church, that thou wouldst deliver us from the bondage of sin, that thou may give new hearts of flesh, that may see the vanity and the carnality, that may see that treasure that is in heaven, wherewith thou dost bless the people of the Lord, and that thou may turn our hearts, that thou wouldst draw our hearts, that they may be renewed, that there wouldst be new love planted in our hearts, affections that go out after thee, the true and the living God, and that thou wouldst draw them also in thy time after thy own beloved Son, in whom thou dost say that I am well pleased. O Lord, that thou wouldst honor and glorify thyself, who we do not honor and glorify. But thou art stronger than we, and thou art stronger than he that does hold the creation under that bondage of sin. O Lord, thou hast shown thy strength over him in the days of thy dwelling here upon this earth, when thou didst but speak a few words to say, "Come out of him." O Lord, could it please thee to put him away from us and from our children, and to deliver us from that bondage, that we may again be brought into the liberty of the children of God, that we may be delivered from all that is fleshly, and that we may receive that spirit of thee, that may go out after thee with those holy longings and desires, that it may honor and glorify thee by beginnings here below. For thou hast given thine only begotten Son, that he may pay the price for sin. O Lord, that we may be included therein with our children, that we may be cut off in our own selves, that we may lose all that hope that we do depend upon, and that we may be given that place of true humility, to cry out unto thee, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, then our eyes, they are opened, and we go out after the Son, who is able to bring us back unto the Father, and to join us together by thy Holy Spirit into one. O Lord, we beseech thee, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and without thee, O Lord, we perish. O do it then for thy great name's sake to young and old among us, and leave us not to go our own way and to work out our own destruction, that thou may teach our children in the days of their youth. Wilt thou give them to remember their Creator, to keep them from sin and put away the devices of that prince of darkness who does seek out the hearts and the lives of our youth? Wilt thou thyself put a wall and a fence about them? And wilt thou give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand? Give it unto parents, unto teachers, unto each and every one, also unto grandparents. O Lord, that there may be a godly example that is set by us. Oh, how far away are we from our place? Oh, that thou wouldst grant us that life that lives close to thee, that there may be a following also of the generation that is to come. Oh, do instruct and do teach us, Lord. Remember all that are afflicted in the mind or in the body. Thou knowest the places where that they are, in the nursing homes, but also in their own homes. The weakness of the body, oh, that thou may supply, and that thou may give, that all the trials and afflictions may be sanctified in this life. For there is one thing that is needful, and one may live only a short time, another may become 100 years old. But, O Lord, then it is for each and every one a great and never-ending eternity. Do bind that matter upon our hearts, that we may live truly as pilgrims and strangers here upon this world, that we may put away all the things that have no profit, that we may not meditate upon them, that we may not follow them, but that treasure that we may have in thy holy word, and that is more than gold, and that is more than silver, that it may be sought by us with all our heart and with all our strength. Be also with those that rule and reign over us. Oh, that thou wouldst subdue the wiles of Satan that are also coming against us with our children, and that thou wouldst arise, O Lord, for thy name's sake, and deliver us as thou alone art able. O glorify thy name when our own helplessness is felt more and more. We have no strength against this great company that cometh against us. O Lord, thou alone art able to do it. Remember us for thy name's sake. And wilt thou be with all those that bring thy word, increase their number. For they are few in the harvest that is white already to harvest. Oh, that thou may send forth then men who are truly converted and called by thee, that they may go forth to bring thy word to the mission fields, but also unto the established congregations, and that thou may give an increase also among us, that thy people may be edified, that they may be instructed, that they may be led further upon that way of free and sovereign grace, and that many may be included and born into that kingdom, Remember us so in this afternoon hour, as strengthen us for the labor that is before us. Oh, fill us with the unction of thy Holy Spirit, that the matter of which we hope to speak, which is a high matter, may fill our heart, and that we may be given to speak unto dying men as a dying man. Oh, remember us, be thou in the midst of us, and forgive and keep us from all sin for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 124, stanzas 1, 2, 7, 8, and 9. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine, my eager tongue, and with joyful song doth praise the King divine. We announce, this is the second announcement of the intended installation of Mr. Jan van Hagenbos as deacon next week, Sunday afternoon, the Lord willing. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by this coming Tuesday, September the 25th. And the last collection today is for the disaster fund, Psalter 124, 1, 2, 7, 8, and 9. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to us, Romans chapter 8, and thereof the first part of the 35th verse. Romans 8, verse 35, the first part. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So far, the words of our text. And that speaks about the unbreakable union between Christ and His church, which we wish to consider in two thoughts. First, the necessity of this union, as is described here in the context. And secondly, the permanence of this union. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The unbreakable union between Christ and His church. First, the necessity of this union, and second, the permanence of this union. In the last 2 weeks, congregation, we have commemorated together both of the holy sacraments of the Lord. They are added to the administration of the Word for a purpose. And what is that purpose? That is the assurance of His church. What does the church of God desire more than assurance? Doubts, they are the grounds of fears. And fears, they are the desires of no one. You do not desire to fear, do you, children? It is not only a false, but it is also an irrational accusation that comes often against the true church of God, that they indulge themselves in doubts, that they indulge themselves in a spirit of mistrust. Human nature itself condemns this accusation. Because there is no man that desires to live in a state of fear. And as fears, they are the causes of doubt. Then it does not make even any common sense that God's children should indulge themselves in those thoughts that would make them to live in such a state of fear. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The sacraments, they are instituted by the Lord, especially that they may work such a confidence in the heart of God's own children, that is, that the Lord may take away all their fears. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our text that speaks about separation, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What does that mean, children? To separate. Say, that is just the opposite of uniting. When we separate things, we divide them, we bring them apart. Thus, that is over against a union. So, the separation, that is breaking a union. What comfort, congregation, is the sacrifice of Christ that we have commemorated in these last 2 weeks also in a visible way? What does this sacrifice of Christ, mean to us in a personal way, because that sacrifice is not a universal blessing. It is not a blessing that is being received by the entire world. We can read that the Lord Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, and he says to them, he speaks about the stone which the builders are rejecting. Who was that stone? That was he himself. He says, that same stone that is made the head of the corner. But then he continues, and he says that stone that shall not only be for the benefit of men, but he says, whosoever shall fall on that stone shall be broken, but upon whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Thus, the sacrifice of Christ is not a universal blessing unto all men in this world. Reverend Maljars, he must go to the mission field and begin to preach among this people. If you now had to go yourself and to begin among a people who were completely ignorant, for example, the way that Reverend Kite had to go years ago, to people who were completely ignorant of God, of His Word, where would you begin? Where would you begin, children, young people? There are so many things, you say, that people, they need to know. We call them objective truths. They need to know that there is a God. They need to know who that true God is. What are His attributes? They need to know that they are part of a creation, and they need to know about the fall, and they need to know about redemption and the Lord Jesus and His sacrifice. All these kinds of things, they are all objective truths. And then eventually, he needs also to go further. Then he needs to speak unto this people to say that this sacrifice, that it is not enough that it was done, but that he also needs to become yours, that there must be a union between him and you. You need to receive him into your heart. Is that not a wonder, children, that there are so many things that those people, they do not know, and that you already know? You are taught from when you are very young, you go to the school, and your teachers, your parents, the elders, they instruct you. And they show to you all these objective truths. We read, we hear about the Lord Jesus, he is born in the manger, and the reason, and so on. You understand that I cannot begin as I preach to you. I cannot preach unto those heathen people. That has to be somewhat different, doesn't it? Because there are so many things that you already know, and that we have to say them over, sure. But we need to go on, do we not? We need to speak about the things that are subjective, not only objective about the matters, but also subjective. How does it now apply to you? How does it now apply unto me? Thus, we are well acquainted with the facts of the death of Christ. But did he die for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Why does Paul ask this? Paul is here in this chapter marveling in this verse, in these few verses. He is speaking with a great wonder. Why? Well, young people, children, you go to school, and when you go to school there, your teacher will tell you about something, instruct you about something, and those things which you knew so little about at first in your teacher, they tell you more and more, and soon the wonder that just comes right out of it. Then you begin to understand it completely. You see how it goes from one thing to the next. But let your teacher, your science teacher, begin to let you look through the microscope. Let them begin to let you look through a telescope. Let them begin to tell you about the creation of God. And let them go further and further into those mysteries of the things that all the medical profession of our world still is not able to understand. And what will happen? Well, the more that you study, the more that you will see the wonder of it. The more that you will understand that you do not understand, the more you will look at that creation of God and to stand in awe. Oh, let the Lord give you a new heart now. And that let the Lord begin to instruct you a little bit in the things not merely of the creation, but let the Lord begin to instruct you a little bit in the things of redemption. Let Him begin to show to you the depth, as our fathers say, how great our sins and miseries are. And let that Spirit open to you a little bit just by beginnings of the mysteries of the redemption that are in His only begotten Son. And that people of the Lord, they begin to marvel. It is a marveling that begins in this life. And it is a marveling that does not cease to all eternity. That great eternity that will not be long enough, as it were, to magnify and to glorify God and to enter into the blessed mysteries of the redemption of His church. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? We say the unbreakable union of Christ with His church. First, the necessity of that union. Why? Because of the insufficiency of that sacrifice itself for us without the union, without the application. The insufficiency of the objective merely without that which is subjective. Where do we see it? We read it here in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Thus, Paul speaks about the application. He speaks here about God's elect. How many charges are laid against God's elect? Charges from without, charges from within. Do we know those charges? What is a charge? What is that, children? A charge. Well, a charge is something that happens at the law. And you are charged. It is not just an accusation, but it is an accusation that actually comes to a judge. And the purpose of that accusation before the judge, that is to condemn a person, that person, he would be punished. Satan has a desire and looks for the condemnation of the church of God. We read in Zechariah that he saw Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. That Satan had a desire to accuse and to bring before the judge a charge that he would be condemned. We read that Satan, he appears before the Lord and he accuses Job, as it were, before his judge. He says, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not put a hedge about him on every side?" Is that charge ever laid against you, people of the Lord? You serve the Lord for the wrong reason. You serve the Lord for ulterior reasons. It is not true within your heart. Satan also has many accomplices in this world. We think about the Pharisees. They bring a woman to the Lord Jesus. She is caught in adultery, we read, in the very act. They bring her to Jesus as if that he is the judge for her, and that they may charge her and that he may condemn her. They bring charges against the disciples. They break thy Sabbath, the Sabbath day. They pluck ears of corn on the Sabbath day. Charges. Man born blind carries his bed on the Sabbath day. Charges. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There are also many charges that come not only from without. They are charges that come from within, in the heart, in the life of God's own people. What did David say? He says, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep." Charge. Do you know such charges? How many charges do you not have to file against yourself before your judge, people of the Lord? Because you know this heart. And you have to say there is hypocrisy in it. You have to say you are not true. You are not faithful. You are slothful. You are worldly. You have a carnal heart. Charges. The fear of the Lord that does not live in your heart like it should. You lack faith. You lack truth. And it is true, because the Lord himself, we read, he says unto his people, "I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast there those that have the doctrine of Balaam." You do not root it all out. Thus you leave in your life that idolatry, like the children of Israel when they went into that land of Canaan, and the Lord says, "Rooted out every sin, because they will be thorns in your sides." But they didn't do it. And thus the Lord says, "I have somewhat against thee also, because thou hast left thy first love." Charges. But Paul, he says here, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. There is the answer. It is the answer to every charge that is coming against that true church of God. The charges from without and the charges from within is the death, yea, rather, the resurrection of Christ. That is the justification of the elect of God. Thus, we have that which is the objective part. There is the answer. But now he continues. And what does he say? He says, thus, if we are now separated from him, if that is now the solution for that true people of the Lord, for every charge that is coming before their judge, he says, if you are now separated from him, then what profit is he for you? Thus he speaks about the necessity of this union. Boys and girls, when you will take one of the trees outside and you will cut off a branch, what will happen to the branch? You say it will die. That is right. It will die. If it remains on the tree, it will live. But if it is cut off from the tree, it will die. Why? Why? Well, you say that branch, that does not have life, has life within itself, but it does not have life from itself. Without remaining attached, united to that tree, then that branch has to die. That is now the same, children. If we are converted unto the Lord, it is now the same people of the Lord. You cannot exist unless that you are remaining in that vine. That life that is in you, for what reason? Because it is coming out of him. But if you are not remaining united unto him, then you can only die. Because outside of him, every charge that you hear in your soul, every inner speaker that condemns you, it condemns you before your judge, does it not? You have only one answer. You have only one solution to every charge that is coming against you. That is the death, yea, rather the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it is necessary that you are united unto him by a true faith. And therefore, Paul, he is glorying. He says that is not only necessary, he says he is glorying also in the permanence. That is our second thought. The permanence of this union, because he says, who now shall separate us from this love of Christ? The love of Christ is experienced in the soul. How is that experienced? Well, it is experienced in the revelations of that mediator to your soul. To your soul, when your soul is condemned by all of these charges, these accusations. John says, we love him because he first loved us. Oh, people of the Lord, when did you first begin to love him? That is not God. That happens in regeneration. Maybe we do not know that moment that we began to love God. Because sometimes that happens even like Timothy when we are just in our youth. Maybe that happens very slowly. Others, it happens in a moment in the days of their adulthood. but that is not that which we speak about here. Then did your soul begin to go out after Christ? When did your soul begin to love that mediator? Well, that is only in that moment that something, that the smallest thing of that mediator was shown to us, was revealed unto us. Otherwise, he has no form, he has no comeliness, he is not lovely to our soul. It is just the opposite. Because when a man is working, then he looks to merit. And that merit that looks for reward and that looks for honor. And thus, when a man he is still working, then Christ, he is actually a robber of my own glory. He is a robber of my own honor. Then I do not look to him, nor do I desire him. But when now everything of me is cut off, and when I have now to lose all that hope and all that expectation from my own side, now a place is given for the Lord to open something to my soul, that is to reveal something of his only begotten Son. And now those first revelations, that first time, oh, then our soul that is beginning to love the Son. It is beginning to love the mediator. It is going out after him. You say maybe, I have not seen him. I do not know him. What is it? Mentioned lately, the gifts of Isaac. They went out to Rebekah. She received them. And what happened in her heart when she received those gifts? Well, she began to love the giver. Those gifts were so personal. Those gifts, they came to her. And when they came to her, they came to her with a call, as it were. A call for her to leave her father and her mother and all her house and to go out after him. And that those gifts, although she had never seen him, they have endeared him unto her soul so that she was enabled by grace to leave everything behind. Did she love her father and mother, children? What do you think? Oh, yes, she loved her father, she loved her mother, but she was ready to leave it all behind because it was so strong to that Isaac. And thus, when she is asked, she said, I will go. The soul that is united with its affections unto the blessed mediator, even when in his person he may still be so hidden to that people, but he reveals something to them of his gifts. He reveals something to them of what grace is. Free, sovereign grace. And when they see that grace, they see how that all those accusations, they are in that moment able to be taken away. Because it is not of works, but it is of grace. To whom does that endear them? Oh, they cannot say they have seen him so clearly, but they have seen a little of that grace. And that grace that is drawing them, especially because they know, they have that objective knowledge. That is the importance of it, is it not? That connection is there, and that is drawing them unto that blessed mediator. Then they say, as the heart that is panting for the water brooks, so thirsts my soul after thee, O God. And why? We read, to taste thy grace, to taste it. Oh, what is the soul longing for? Separation? Union. The soul is longing for a union with that blessed mediator. What is their grief? What is their fear? Separation. The felt separation and a fear for an eternal separation. What is it that separates? Sin, right children, the garden, ate of the tree, out. Sin that separates. And continually, children of Israel, idolatry, land did not receive her Sabbath years, Assyria, punishment, separation, sin that separates. And yet Paul, he here says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He is rejoicing in this union, and he is rejoicing in the permanence of this union. He says, it is not possible that this union shall be broken. But let us sing. 141, 1 and 4. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh cleanse me from my sin. 1 and 4 of Psalter 140. shall separate us from the love of Christ? What does Paul do? Paul addresses the fears of the church of God. They are the fears concerning separation. There are so many that make a profession of Christ and who make no profession about fears for separation. And why not? Because there are no charges. There are no charges within and without, so they feel nothing that ought to separate them. But Paul here, according to the way of Christ himself, he is comforting that true church of God, unto whom these charges are coming day after day, hour after hour, in order to make them fear. And wherein does he comfort them? Does he comfort them with a duty religion? Well, that is impossible, because a duty religion, well, that is just what those people, they are all coming short in. Our fathers, they say, there is one comfort in life and in death, that I may know that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Thus, that one comfort, they declare, that is in the union of their soul with him. And that is now the comfort that Paul is comforting that church in. And when he is speaking here about the permanence of that union, about its unbreakableness, about its firmness, what does he say? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does he say? He says Satan and that enemy, they can lay charges. But as long as that love of Christ remains, those charges, they cannot touch that people. And he says that Satan and that enemy, they can persecute that people. They can chase them over the Alps. They can burn their houses. They can slay them with the sword. But it does not take away that love of Christ. He says, indeed, that people are more than conquerors. What is that, boys and girls? To be more than a conqueror. Well, if you conquer someone, then you can be quiet, you haven't conquered. But then you can also rejoice. So that is the further part, that is to be more than a conqueror, to be a triumpher. Thus, God's children, he says, they are actually glorying in the tribulation. Why? Because he says that church loses nothing in the tribulation except for the dross. We have heard and read this morning that people, they are chosen in that furnace of affliction. Why? That the Lord may get rid of that dross that is living within their own heart. Oh, if a man truly is able to bless God for his afflictions, if a man truly is able to glorify him and to bless him for all of his tribulations, is he not more than a conqueror? Read Psalm 86. David, he beseeches the Lord in his trouble, in the midst of all his afflictions, and he blesses the Lord because he says, "Thou hast delivered me from the lowest hell, more than conquerors. Who shall separate us," he says, "from that love of Christ? Neither death nor life, not the terrors of death, not the pleasures of life, neither angels who would not separate us, or devils who cannot separate us, principalities," he says, "and powers, all restrained by that love for the apple of his eye, they cannot separate, neither things present," he says, "or things to come, not time, not eternity." Why not? Because, he says, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love," that is a love that goes back to all eternity, but it is a love also that goes forward to all eternity. He says, "I remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. Neither height nor depth, not the height of prosperity, not the depth of affliction." That prosperity that can allure us, that affliction that can depress us, there is nothing, he says, there is nothing that can change that love. There is nothing that can change that unchangeable God. When the church is slothful and that overcomes them, oh, then it is the love of Christ by which that he is going to the church to knock on the door of their heart and to say, "Open unto me, my sister, my love, my dove." When that church begins to wander all over this world, oh, then as that great shepherd, then he is bringing his rod and he is bringing that staff all out of that love of Christ. When pride is lifting them up, then it is that love of Christ that is rebuking them, that is humbling them, that is saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And when it is, oh, when it is the depth of adversity and that sin that is discouraging them, and then it is that love of Christ that is lifting them up out of that horrible pit. Oh, who shall separate us from that love of Christ? Congregation, that is the only valid fear that we ought to have in our whole life. To be separated from that love of Christ. Because if we are separated from that love, then it is for us and our children lost. But that is not a valid fear for God's true church. Because once that love for him that is kindled in our heart, that is a fire that cannot go out. It may lay under the ashes, but it cannot go out. Can the clouds put out the sun? They may hide it from our view, that it becomes very, very dark, but it shines still. How dark it can become in the soul of God's people. How dark it can become sometimes. They think it is just like those 3 days in the land of Egypt, where they neither moved nor got up from their places. That is frightening. Who of my children, who of you, the Lord says, that people, they are walking in darkness and they have no light. And what is the fear? The fear that is separation. Why? Because the charges, they are coming up in their heart every time, every day again. They are charged with surfeiting and drunkenness, with idolatry, with whoredom. All of these things. They are condemned. It is my own fault. I have left him. I have sinned against received grace. The apostle says we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter, self-condemned. And then Satan comes. He says, "Where is thy God?" He says, "Persecute and take him, because God has forsaken him." But it cannot be. It cannot be, the apostle says. And he glories in it. Once united, he says, is never to be separated from that love of Christ, no matter how low that it can come in the life of that Peter. How does Peter address that people? What does he call them? He says, ye that have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And when we have tasted that the Lord is gracious, oh, then we are not ignorant of that love poured out in our heart. Even if we have to say, oh, I know so little of Him, yet we are not strangers of that love. And once united unto Him in that love, oh, then there is nothing. There is nothing. Who shall separate us from that love of Christ? No, though that people have played the harlot with many lovers, parents. How can that love between your heart and your children be broken? What can they do against you to break your love? You say it is impossible, yet it may be possible, and yet it is not possible, the apostle says, for that love of Christ to be broken. Oh, how firm. How firm is the salvation, is the redemption of the church of God? Because it does not lie in them, but it lies in Him, Him who is the Alpha, Him who is the Omega, Him who is the beginning, Him who is the ending. Congregation, we need to come in at the door. Oh, when once we are brought in at that door in the right way, not to climb over the wall, read Pilgrim's Progress, but once a man is brought through that door, oh, labor to come in at the door, that your need, remember that woman, the woman of Canaan, and it seemed that the Lord would shut the door and close the door on her. But she continued. Oh, we read a story of a beggar one time. And that door that was about to be shut upon him, you know what he did, boys and girls? He put his foot in the door. Put his foot in the door. Will you do that too? Oh, do not let him go until he bless you. When once you have received it, that blessing, and when once the affection of your heart that is drawn, that is tied, that is united unto the blessed Son of God, do you know who also loves Him? His Father. His Father. Oh, if we may only be given to see something in all our wretchedness, in all our misery, of His beauty. And that He would become precious, that He would become lovely, and that our heart may begin to go out after this mediator, congregation, then that love of Christ that is planted in our heart, and the Lord, He says, and the apostle, He says, we love Him because He first loved us. Oh, then the state of that people from the side of the Lord that is actually good, their condition that can still change, they will desire that they may have what the apostle may now say, that blessed assurance. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Blessed union. Blessed union. Experience in that moment to be above all the gold and the silver and the rubies of this world. And blessed union, because it is never, never to be broken. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou look upon each and every one of us? We live so carnally in this world, and thou dost call unto us that our affections may be placed upon Thee above. O Lord, wilt Thou Thyself draw us? Then we will run after Thee. Turn us, Lord, and we shall be turned, and that this blessed matter may be experienced by young and old. Leave not one of us behind. We go to an eternity that never, never ends. O, the treasure that is so close unto us, we are baptized. O Lord, remember us. Give us meditations upon Thy word in this day. Bring us safely to our places. Humble us under gifts received. Also the strength to bring Thy word. Bring it in our hearts with power. Keep us this week to and fro, children and adults together. All those that travel, watch over and protect. And remember us upon our journey. Make us strangers, pilgrims in this world, seeking a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. For Jesus' sake, amen. 280 stanzas 1, 3, and 4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me bless His name. Bless Jehovah, and forget not all His mercies to proclaim. And what follows, 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 280.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.